Will Jared Goff be able to stand up to a tough, physical, disguise-oriented Minnesota Vikings defense? Is there one matchup that might dictate the Cowboys' offense against the Dolphins' defense? And lastly, can you trust Josh Allen? What a weird thing to say. Can you trust Josh Allen from a fantasy standpoint after the Bills installed a run-heavy game plan last week? All that and more coming up on the Week 16 Viewer's Guide. Let's get into it. It's Friday, December 22nd. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and joining me to do just that is, first time on the show, Lauren Carpenter of FTN Fantasy. Lauren, what's going on?
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on. It's such a pleasure and an honor to be here with you, Harmon. Happy Merry Christmas early.
Yes. Merry early Christmas to all of you out there. Appreciate it. And of course, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you as well, Lauren. Thank you for coming on the Week 16 preview show. Pretty important week. We have a lot of, you know, important things to talk about here as we preview these games. It's a hell of a slate. I do want to remind folks, a little programming note before we get into this, because just schedule updates, because we've got a full slate of NFL games here, a full Christmas slate. We will not be dropping a recap podcast on Monday morning as we usually do. We will be dropping it the day after Christmas, so that, yes, of course, you will be watching football. You'll be thinking about football all through the holidays. The NFL has ensured the fact that you will not, you know, forget about them for those few days. You can forget about me. You can forget about me for those few days. You can forget about this podcast. We will be back with you on Tuesday morning, a day later than our usual recap because of the holidays, so you all can enjoy your time with your families. But without further ado, let's get into it. The Week 16 Viewer's Guide. Let's start with the games, Lauren, that we need to binge this weekend, starting with the Christmas night. We got to start at the very end of the weekend here.
Yeah.
The best game on the slate, Ravens 49ers. 46.5 point total. I mean, what a treat of a game. All I want for Christmas, I don't care about anything else, all I want for Christmas is for this to be a good game. Lauren, what do you have your eye on in this contest?
This is a Super Bowl preview. I don't know if anybody is aware of this, but I can see the future. I'm kidding. I would own
Excellent.
Belize and have world peace and unicorns if that were the case. But this really feels
you'd be
like
doing you'd be doing a better, you'd be doing a much higher tier podcast than this one.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I would still be having a great time hanging out with you, Harmon, on the beach in Belize with our spouses and pets. It'd be a great time. And maybe some unicorns thrown in there too, because for some reason that's going to be my word of the day. I am really looking for excellent play here out of Lamar Jackson when we're talking about the MVP race between Lamar Jackson, Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy. I'm looking for Isaiah Likely. I want him to step up again, just keep on that role as he's taken over for Mark Andrews, taken over, strong turn of phrase. You know what I mean? Stepped in for, has done a decent, good job. I really like this as well. 49er side, Christian McCaffrey, I need you to crush. I need you to crush. I don't see where that is going to change. This should just be a good game all around. I don't see any downside to this game whatsoever. And it just makes perfect sense that this is going to cap off the Week 16. And I'm thrilled.
I am thrilled as well. Like a lot of what you mentioned there, you know, trying to dig into this game from like a defensive matchup perspective. We actually talked a lot on the previous show with Dalton about where some of San Francisco's defensive weaknesses are. There are some issues with the run defense. They've allowed a lot of explosive runs of late. We also know that typically these cover one, you know, heavy outside corners, like these guys can get over on these style of defenses. Typically, we've seen that throughout the course of the last couple of years, really, with San Francisco 49ers. It's a lot harder, Lauren, when you're looking at it from the Baltimore Ravens side here, because like even just going through what type of coverages they play, they do so many different things. Like they're not really a prevalent like single high team. They're not really a prevalent two high team or a cover three or cover four or cover six. They mix it all up, which I'm not Kyle Shanahan. I'm just some goofball in a Christmas sweater. I don't know like the weakness of this Ravens defense just looking at it. I'm sure the 49ers will find it, but it is tough. Like we know in fantasy we play all these guys, but it's kind of tough. Like typically going into a game, you could prioritize like which one's really, really going to smash between Ayuk and Debo and Kittle. And this one, I do think it's a little more difficult.
Yeah, it is. And I'm going to actually go on the flip side of this, too. When we're talking about the 49ers defense here, and both of these defenses are good. Do they have weaknesses? Mm-hmm. Sure. But these are one of the more staunch defenses when it comes to, I want to say, overall goodness. Someone like Christian McCaffrey, I feel, can find a needle in a haystack. It doesn't matter where it is. So my concern is going to be with the Ravens side of the run game, and that's with Gus Edwards. What do we do with Gus Edwards? You pray for a touchdown. That is never, ever fun to do, ever. Debo Samuel, let's go back to the 49ers. Debo Samuel is one of those, you know, elusive, all-around, smash you in the mouth. I mean, when you see him run, it's like you don't have to run through the brick wall. You can let your, you know, your O-line block for you. He's like, no, I'm going to go through everybody. And you're like, please, God, don't get hurt. Ugh. He's one of those guys. Ayuk, wild card. I do like this one. But my real concern in this matchup is not necessarily on the 49ers side, Herman. It's on the Ravens side in that run game specifically. So I know I said before this is going to be fantasy points galore, and I think it will be. But that one exception I'm going to have now that I'm backtracking on what I said earlier is going to be the run game from the Ravens.
I think if you're trying to talk yourself into Gus Edwards, number one, it's just you are having to pray for that touchdown for sure. And if you think this is going to be a high scoring game, he can definitely get in the mix there. I kind of have my suspicions that this game could go under the total. I'll look like a jackass and it'll be super high scoring, but you know, what else is new? I do think this game could be a very defensive heavy game. Like we're talking about here, a lot of rush attempts, you know, it's one of these games that's over quickly, you know, from a time of possession standpoint. But I think if you're trying to talk yourself into Gus Edwards, it's a higher scoring game. Yeah, or you could not. But the fact that Keaton Mitchell is not going to be a part of the equation here, I think that's definitely a thing that's, you know, he played his highest percentage of snaps last week in the last few games. So I think that would be how you have to talk yourself into Gus Edwards. Do you have any lean in terms of the passing game? Like, I know I got my hopes up for Zay Flowers, for Odell Beckham last week against the Jaguars, and that did not come to fruition. Are you brave enough to go back to the well with any Ravens pass catchers here, Isaiah Likely included?
Wow. For anyone who's not watching, I just made a face of confusion / disgust / horror / optimism. That is an actual mixture of emotions that one can have. I don't hate going back to someone like Zay Flowers. I think that his explosiveness is there. The big playmaking ability is there. Do I rely on it? Absolutely not. This is very scary. It reminds me so much of Gabe Davis. It's not even funny, who just... You always have to have him in your lineup because you never know when this is going to happen. It is frightening. If I can avoid doing that at all costs, I think I would. However, I don't mind Zay Flowers, and I don't hate OBJ either. I'm not happy with it. I'm not going to, you know, slot them in my flex spot or my wide receiver three spot and say, oh, yay, I'm going to have to put them in there and take a lot of Pepto-Bismol and just maybe not watch and just, I don't know, do something else. It's terrifying. Although, what else are you going to do? It's Christmas night. You're watching the game. Just maybe take a step back and look through one eye.
It's your last chance to watch the Grinch, you know, before you can't do it anymore, I
That's
guess.
Very That's very true. What you can
do. I do think with Zay Flowers, you know, Scott Pienowski always talks about like the SAT test for players, that if you look at his targets the last 3 weeks, it's 8, 10, 2. The next answer on the test is probably not 2.
Right.
It's probably not going to be that again, right? It might be something closer to 8 or 10. So I don't know. I feel like he gets back involved here, but I do agree with you that you have to have some level of chutzpah, some fortitude to put these guys back in your lineup. Let's move on to the next game here. Another one that should be pretty spicy. Detroit Lions at Minnesota Vikings. We got a 46.5 point total. The Lions are road favorites here. Lauren, tell me how this one is not going to be like a shootout, a fantasy points bonanza, because I see a lot of potential goodness from the Vikings side going against a Lions defense that is very exploitable.
I would say the only way that this turns into not something that is just fantasy bounty is if Jared Goff suddenly goes back to old Jared Goff and is bad on the road. However, I don't see that happening. They're at Minnesota and they're in a dome, correct? Correct me if I am wrong. So ergo, beauty. This home road split with Jared Goff that he's facing, that has really negated itself over the last several weeks. So I really see a very good game from Jared Goff. I see a great game from obviously all those other pass catchers around. David Montgomery. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. I know Jahmyr Gibbs is really, really good, but so are you, my friend. Dan, come on. Come on, Dan Campbell. Let's get David Montgomery a little bit more than just 10 points in PPR scoring. Although it doesn't matter because every league I have David Montgomery and I am no longer in a prayer's chance of going anywhere. So DFS, here we go. So I think that the only way that this could happen is if there's some sort of weird slip up, if this just turns into a funky, we're just not on our game situation, but we can't really predict that. That's not something that numbers can really tell us. So on paper, I think this is going to be pretty, and I think that will translate into fantasy points as we move forward, which I really, really do like.
Yeah, I think you're right that the only way this turns into, by the way, it is hilarious that we're sitting here saying like there's a quarterback question in this game, you know, and it's not the guy who's leading his team to win the division. It's not the guy who's been to a Super Bowl before. We're not even talking about Nick Mullins, right? Like we're talking about Jared Goff is the big question in the game. The other team has Nick Mullins as the quarterback, right? Like that could easily send this game sinking down the tubes. But just to stick on the Jared Goff part of this, this Vikings defense does so much to, change the picture on you pre-snap, post-snap. They play cover zero at the highest rate in the NFL. They're the only team in double digits, 12.1%, a cover two or cover zero rate. Like that is a lot to throw at Jared Goff. That's a lot of like heat they're going to throw at him. And then they disguise coverages. They mix things up on the back end. So I could see this game getting into a bit of a like Jared Goff is in a tizzy type situation, yes, which leads me to that running back situation. Do the Lions trust Jahmyr Gibbs in pass protection? Because you are going to have to pass protect to be in the backfield for this game against Minnesota Vikings. Could this be a bigger David Montgomery game simply because they trust him in protection?
I think he's.
I don't know.
Yeah, I see exactly where you're coming from. Because Jared Goff under pressure, garbage. Jared Goff, when he has a little bit of time, beauty. Just absolutely beautiful. So they are going to have to trust Jahmyr Gibbs into pass protection, right? But it would not surprise me if we are seeing more David Montgomery on the field, but not David Montgomery running the football, which is very frustrating. So out of these two backs, I think I still would lean Jahmyr Gibbs when it comes to a fantasy perspective. When we are looking for points, obviously that's why we're here and talking about this. And I think they're going to have to do that. Whether or not he's going to be able to step up to the plate is going to be a completely different question. But we saw what happened last week. Jared Goff had plenty of protection and he exploded with 5 touchdowns. Yeah. So if they can repeat that recipe, I think they're going to have another beautiful dish. I'm hungry. Can you tell?
Yeah, definitely.
Starving.
By the way, hell of a fire in your background there.
Thank you. It's purple and incredible. Obviously real.
Yeah, for the YouTube folks behind you, that's what we're hoping out of this game. We get a lot of fire potential. And on the Viking side, that's what I feel like we're going to get, right? Because Lions defense, we know, is one of the most exploitable
and
units
Nick
in the NFL.
Nick Mullins is so good.
He's just so great. Definitely great. Doesn't make me uncomfortable for a potential letdown spot here at all. No way. I will say I think Mullins was good enough just to run the offense last week. He put the ball in harm's way a couple times. He, you know, threw some pass, like his one touchdown to Jordan Addison. I don't even know how that was completed. That was one of the most wild throws of the year. And in that same game, T. Higgins went ahead, one of the most wild catches of the year. So that's saying something for Jordan Addison, that it was a crazy play, maybe a little fluky. But still, I feel like all of these guys are getting in your lineup from a pass game perspective. But what about Ty Chandler, who head coach Kevin O'Connell had a lot of positive things to say about coming out of last week's game?
This is very interesting. I got Ty Chandler and Zamir Whited going into my play.
What a way to go out.
I had Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, Josh Allen. This beautiful team just wiped the floor. Ty Chandler and Zamir White. Go figure. So this is going to be a question of fumbles. I think it's going to be a question of efficiency. And it's going to be, I don't want to say hot hand, because we don't really see O'Connell really do that when it comes to, okay, well, this guy's doing really well. We're just going to run him. They will be sprinkled in together. This could look, in my opinion, a little bit more of a 60-40 split, I think, in favor of Ty Chandler, because he has been so much more productive with the football as opposed to Alexander Mattison. So I'm going to give the nod to Ty Chandler on this one. I think if Nick Mullins struggles, this is going to be a huge run game anyway. I don't know how productive that's going to be. However, this may be out of necessity. But Justin Jefferson is supposed to be back this week, correct?
Absolutely.
This opens up a lot for that run game. So we'll see how this goes. But I think, in my opinion, I think the nod is going to go to Ty Chandler, but not in some crazy, they're running him every single down. Alexander Mattison will be involved, so don't get too annoyed when you're constantly seeing his name and his number on the field instead of Chandler's, if you were the one who started him. and not Alexander Madison. So I don't want to talk about him anymore because it makes me verklempt.
I do think Ty Chandler fits this offense a little bit better than Alexander Madison did. Yeah, I think it's just a much better fit. It's important to note, as producer Colin pointed out in the chat, that if the Lions win this game, it will be their first division title in 30 years. 3-0.
Yay, Detroit.
That's a lot of years. So we shall see if they can pull it off. Let's move on to the next game in the binge category here. Cowboys at Dolphins. Dolphins are 1.5-point home favorites. We have a beefy 50.5-point total in this one. Yet again, sets up for a nice fantasy bonanza potentially. But, Lauren, do you have any concerns with Dallas going on the road against what should be a tough opponent after what we saw last week?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually surprised by this over-under. I was actually surprised by last week's over-under as well. I don't, and I'm not a Dallas Cowboy hater, everybody out there. So don't come at me being like, why do you hate the Cowboys? I'm not, because I don't have a team.
Specifically Colin, our producer is a huge Cowboys homer. Buddy. So
this is straight at you, my friend. But this just, the Dolphins defense is, over the last 4 weeks especially, have been pretty staunch. I like this potential, but I just don't think that that's going to happen. Not with Dallas on the road, not facing another good team. Oh, I don't like this. And I think if there's going to be any scoring, it's going to be through Tyreek Hill to start. And then after that, it's going to be Raheem Mostert. It's going to be the run game. Jalen Waddle's going to get involved. I just don't know how much, you know, Tony Pollard and Dowdle are going to be able to do anything here. Dak has been struggling a little bit. I don't see this as being a huge game. Now, I could be completely wrong. This is my turn to be, you know, the asshat on the show. I don't see this as being a huge game. I give this nod to Miami.
Here's an interesting matchup note from Next Gen Stats. Jalen Ramsey traveled with Garrett Wilson during the first three quarters in week 15, aligning across from him on 21 of 27 routes, 77.8% of his routes, which is new because Ramsey for the longest time had been not doing the shadow corner stuff. Now, Vic Fangio, Miami Dolphins defense coordinator, he was kind of playing coy with the media today. He said, well, we did that because Xavien Howard was out. He said, but would be kind of a, you know, get your popcorn ready matchup if he was to stick in the slot with CeeDee Lamb, who we know moves inside. But remember, Ramsey played that star position with the Rams defense. Right. He played as that slot defender. So this is not one of these like, okay, Pat Surtain, great cornerback, but he's never going to follow guys in the slot. Like, no, Ramsey has experience doing this. I can't wait to see. Like, if that matchup, yeah, Vic, you're right. I mean, forget, you know, Christmas cookies. Give me the popcorn. I'm ready to watch that matchup.
Can
if
I
we
both?
Get it. I mean, yo, calories don't count on the holidays, okay? Lauren, you want to have Christmas cookies in one hand, you want to have a popcorn on the other, you want to get a beer in there, you want to get some wine in
yeah.
there, I don't know, whatever.
All
of the above. This should be a great game to watch, so many things to see, but that matchup in particular, I think will be the key to whether the Cowboys can kind of get over on this Dolphins defense, because if you have Ramsey kind of clouding the picture, and it's not as if CeeDee Lamb is not a great receiver that can beat one-on-one coverage from a guy like Jalen Ramsey. He absolutely is. We know that about him. But with this offense that's so timing and rhythm predicated, right? Like Dak wants to hit the top of his drop, hit the back foot, and get the ball out. If you got Ramsey even just disrupting that timing for a half a second, 1 second, that could be problematic for Dak and this Cowboys offense as a whole.
Yeah, Colin's coming at me, man, in the chat. It's like Dolphins O-line is backed up, banged up, everyone's hurt.
Ignore the chat. Nothing.
Calm it down. Everything's fine. I told you I don't hate the Cowboys. I just think the Dolphins are going to win by a touchdown at least. Don't.
Well, hey, if they do, it should be another touchdown for the league's leader in rushing touchdowns, Raheem Mostert, against a Cowboys defense that's 32nd in rushing success rate allowed. But on that note, in terms of the matchup there from a run defense perspective, where are you at with rookie running back Devon Achane? Is he somebody that people can trust in their lineups with this matchup, but despite kind of the lesser workload of late?
I think this is going to be interesting because I really like, this is going to go back to Mike McDaniel. And this is Mike McDaniel from circa 49ers. And the way that we saw how he utilized that run game, right? The way that he could use his running backs differently, unpredictably, which I think I like. So do I trust Achane? No. Do I think that he could have a very explosive game? Absolutely. If the Cowboys are able to come in and somehow put a stop to Raheem Mostert, which I don't think is possible because he, like Deebo Samuel, runs through walls and humans and scares me every time he's on the field because I think he's going to get hurt. If they somehow find a way to limit him and Tyreek Hill, okay, I really think that this could be a huge Achan game. This, of course, is predicated upon health. But I'm going to go back to that, answer it again. Pardon my repetition. But do I trust it? Nah. But I don't trust benching him either. I cannot do that. I can't do it. So he's going to be in my starting lineup if I have him because of the opportunity for the explosive plays, especially if the Dolphins get up to a lead. They have every reason to fall back on that run game if they need to, which then just opens more up for Tyreek Hill later if they need to score some points or if they just want to add insult to injury, which, why not? It's Cowboys fans. I'm kidding, Colin. I'm kidding. Don't come at me. I feel triggered. But yeah, I don't feel comfortable benching him. And I think that there is every opportunity for explosive play if for some reason Raheem Mostert gets limited.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. I mean, again, we haven't seen a huge workload game from him since week 13, when a lot of it was in the second half. He had 17 right. carries with 2 touchdowns against Washington. But then it's 7 carries for 47. It's 9 for 32. 5 catches in week 14. 3 catches in week 15. But shoot, even that little workload might be enough to get over on this Cowboys defense. I don't know. I'm getting very excited about Devon Achane in this one. Yes, you're accepting volatility.
Yes.
But I do think you can live with that volatility for the potential upside there. I don't know. I think this game will be close.
Ooh.
And I think it will be close.
Should we make a bet?
See, I don't know if I'm picking the Cowboys side of this thing, though, because again, it's, you know, 1.5
points. I don't think it'll be close.
You don't think it'll be close? Okay. No. So you want to take, I'll take it being within what? Like, I think a 3-point game. You think Dolphins blow them out here?
I think by 7 points.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll talk offline about what,
okay.
You know.
Okay. Let's do it. Let's do it, everyone. And you have to hold us accountable on the socials.
Oh God, that's my favorite.
Come on, like $100 to charity or something of our choice for winner.
Sure, that's fine.
Let's
do
it.
No problem. Yeah, $100 to charity, whatever. I love it. I love that. That's great. I think this is going to be a really interesting game. Let's see. Hey, Miami, beat a good team. Like, let's see you beat a good team. You beat the tar off the Jets. Nobody cares. Go in and beat the Cowboys in this game in your own building. That would be great to see. This is one of the final game I have in the binge category. And I know this is weird, okay? This game is in the binge category.
I did see this in an eyebrow raise that Colin wants me to shave off if I lose my bet. You know what, Colin? Here's the funny thing. I have Shih Tzu eyebrows. So even if I did shave off an eyebrow, in 4 days, it'd be back, okay? They're caterpillars. So none of the shaving eyebrows thing. You'd be very, very disappointed when I have both of them in like 3 days.
I'll say, well, we need to, hopefully Eckler has those same eyebrows when he's going to lose his bet with the whole Lions situation there. But again, in the binge category, I have Cleveland Browns, 2.5-point favorites going to Houston to take on the Texans, 40.5-point over under. Yeah, of course, this is Joe Flacco versus Case Keenum. What year is this?
I
don't really know, but
does
it's
this mean
a huge
I'm like 32
game.
Again? Because I'll take it, Harmon. I will take it.
I don't know.
I don't math either, don't overthink it.
I'm gonna leave that one where it is. I'm gonna leave that one where it is, and I'm just gonna focus on the fact that this is a critical game in terms of the AFC playoff race. So yes, is it the sexiest fantasy matchup in the world? Maybe not, but it is an important game.
It is, and this again is surprising. I know Kendall touched on this last week on the same show. I love Kendall Valenzuela; she's one of my favorites. Why the Jets didn't you run to the phone as fast as humanly possible and call Joe Flacco is beyond me. Cause like you said, how did they, it's not, they didn't have his number, but maybe they did. And Flacco's like, nah, I'm good. I saw your O-line and the answer
is no. I hope you didn't listen to the rest of what I said about the Jets on that show. Cause that was some big yikes stuff.
It's fine. I have selective amnesia. Don't worry about it.
Good.
Wink, wink. Everything is fine. But this is pretty pivotal. I think Joe Flacco is awesome to watch, and the story is great. It is not awesome for fantasy. I find him incredibly unpredictable. Numbers are lying to me right now when I'm looking at Joe Flacco. Now, I don't hate it. I do like his relationship he has formed with the wide receivers. I like what he's been able to do with Njoku. When it comes to the Texans, I do have a soft spot for Case Keenum. I like this young man. What is really, really driving me up the wall is the running back situation that we have going with the Texans. That's irritating. I don't know if anyone knows this. Devin Singletary's nickname is Motor. Why? I don't know. This is just, it's frustrating, but it's pivotal for both games. Just, I'm going to echo exactly what you said. I am nervous about most of the players on this squad. I think I could lean towards Amari Cooper as being one of those must starts, I think, because of the upside. If not, he's fully healthy, right? He practiced in full this week, or did I just make that up?
Yep.
Okay, excellent.
I think he's good, yeah.
Yeah. And then therefore, I kind of downgrade Elijah Moore a little bit because Amari Cooper is back in the lineup. On the Texan side, what is going on with Nico Collins? And I just don't know what else to do with these other guys. Singletary, you're going to have to start him, I think, on volume. But this isn't beautiful for me from a fantasy perspective. It's Flacco is awesome. I mean, 38 years old coming out here and showing up pretty much everyone in the NFL. I love it. But this isn't fun for me for fantasy. Am I crazy or am I on the right track here? What are your thoughts about this?
No, I think this is more of like a good NFL game than it is. And again, it's
okay.
Crazy.
So I'm not crazy. About, excellent. Yeah, it's like, I know what I'm talking about or something. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah, you're not crazy. It is crazy just from like a playoff perspective. As producer Colin notes, must win for Texans. If they win, they have a 67.5% playoff odds, according to the New York Times. If they lose, it drops down to 36%. So this is a must-win game for the Texans, and it is probably going to not be with CJ Stroud and Nico Collins.
So weird.
If he ends up playing, I think, look, he's a critical player for this offense and is probably a guy I'm trusting back in lineups, but it is a little more difficult without CJ Stroud back there. I'll give Case Keenum some credit that the longer the game went on, the more he settled in. Like the first couple quarters is like, oh boy, did they really went with Case Keenum? But then by quarter four, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, that's right. And then into overtime, I'm like, you know what? That's right. Davis Mills isn't really that good. And like Case Keenum is a veteran who's been around the block. It's really two teams that handled their backup quarterbacks. I mean, I don't even know how you can call Joe Flacco the backup quarterback. He's just like, he's their guy now at this point. But backup quarterback, replacement quarterback situations very different. With Flacco, the Browns are throwing the piss out of the ball. They're attacking all levels of the field. With Keenum, you were right to bring up Devin Singletary. They just were like, this is going to be a run-focused game plan. We are not going to drop back to pass very often. We're going to try to establish the run against Tennessee Titans. I think that is what they try to do again against the Browns. So I agree that Singletary is probably a guy I am trusting in lineups here.
Yeah, that matchup is kind of tough for me against the Browns. However, single coverage, that actually sparked a little thought in my head. It wouldn't surprise me if Nico Collins plays, it wouldn't surprise me if he has a good game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because the Browns can be weak against that. I don't know. That's something to keep an eye on. Maybe for a DFS play or take a look at those prop bets for Nico Collins or some other wide receivers. Maybe Noah Brown. See what their prop bets or DFS looks like. I don't know if I would trust it in my lineup, but I think having a little piece of one of those offenses for one or two big playability would be pretty neat to see. And I think they're pretty inexpensive in DFS right now, too. Ooh, okay. I'm on my own track. I'll just hang out and talk to myself. Hey.
I like the call though. Yeah, Nico Collins, I think should be.
He's
back
like, why did I have her on this show? She's crazy.
You're in good company. Don't worry about that. You're in good company. All right, let's move on to the stream game, starting with Buffalo Bills at LA Chargers. The Bills are 12.5-point road favorites. And Lauren, let me explain how this, you know, binge stream skip thing works here and why it's difficult in this stream category, because the Bills should be a binge team. The Chargers, I want to skip. Just go ahead and skip the rest of the season. So we split the difference, and they're in the stream category.
I'm with you.
Look, the Bills are coming off a huge win. I think they can beat the Chargers any which way. If they want to throw the ball, I think Steph Diggs can have himself a nice bounce back game. They want to run the ball. We know what they can do with James Cook. I am curious. You know, you're not crazy. Let me just say that again. You're not crazy, but are you wily enough to want to start any Chargers in this matchup against the Bills?
Is this nuts that we're actually talking about benching Austin Eckler? We're here. And this is insane to even think about this. Austin Eckler has given us what, single digit fantasy points and half PPR scoring in 4 out of the last 5 weeks. And I don't necessarily know if that has to do with this coaching change or Brandon Staley, who I wanted fired for a while. Thank you goodness. Christmas came early. I'm sorry. I know you do have a family as well, Mr. Staley. You were paid well though for your time. Thank you for all you didn't do for us. What does he have to play for here? And is it worth really pushing yourself, getting hurt? There's so many issues, not to mention the fact that the Bills defense doesn't suck. So I don't know if I'm wily enough to start any Chargers at all. And that pains me to say, because Austin Eckler is one of my favorite people to watch in the NFL, not just for regular football, but for fantasy as well. I don't know if I am. And I can't believe that we're having this conversation of sitting Austin Eckler if you want to advance to the finals. But here we are. It's nuts.
This is the time of the year, though, when we have to look at things like motivation, you know, and what, not only does what incentive do the Chargers have to give Eckler run, because I mean, I don't think there any of these coaches are going to be around next year or anything like that. None of these decision makers. But like, do they want to get a look at Isaiah Spiller?
Right.
Who they've already activated the last couple of games. And as Eckler said, like that was the big change. Competition for carries. The big change in the backfield was, well, let's get Isaiah Spiller a few carries here and there. That was the big, oh boy, the big change. But do they want to keep getting a look at Spiller? Like for Eckler's standpoint, and, you know, this is not like something he can determine, but like he's got to go out there and put up some good film before going into free agency this year.
Exactly.
At the same time, like you said, does he want to go out there and get hurt like Keenan Allen, right? I mean, what incentive does Keenan Allen have to come back to this Chargers team? Not a lot, coming back and pushing through this injury. So this is the time of year when we have to make these decisions, and really, like, we're working with unknowables all the time on the outside here, but this specifically is like there are no real answers to this.
Exactly. And if this were a better matchup for Austin Eckler, my tune would be different. I did mention this on our SiriusXM radio show on Saturday, is I did feel like I had a lot of faith in Austin Eckler until I really started looking at the numbers for the Bills over the last 4 weeks. They've allowed the sixth fewest yards on the ground to running backs and the fourth fewest through the air to the position. This does not bode well for someone who really wants to put out some good film, like he really needs it. He's Austin Eckler. So I'm just so nervous about this, because let's say he goes out for a half. All right. Then they're like, okay, well, we're getting blown out. There's no point. You've already had your time in the sun. It's time to bring in Josh O'Kelly. Time to bring in Isaiah Spiller. Way too many variables here against a very good defense against the run. I just don't trust this.
Yeah. Meanwhile, on the Bills side, We trust Josh Allen. We trust Steph Diggs. I know the production.
I don't trust Josh Allen. Not
at
all.
Oh, you don't? Not really?
No, I'm done. I do not trust him whatsoever. Nope.
Wait, one game with 90 something yards and you're out? You're out?
No, it's not just one game. Okay. He's had a few that were questionable. I compared him on another show. Do you think I'm just dropping in how popular I am? Like, I was on the show.
Yeah, you're on a lot of shows.
Talking about Josh Allen, but I compared him to a Bloody Mary. You know, when you have those Saturday mornings or Sunday mornings when you just really need a Bloody Mary, and normally it hits perfectly, right? It's got the snacks in it. It's just made deliciously. And it's like, oh, this hits the spot. Or you get the Josh Allen Bloody Mary that's like the watered down Zing Zing ketchup water that tastes like garbage. It still kind of does the job-ish, but it tastes gross. Like, that's the other version of Josh Allen that we're getting, even in... And that's just the offense and his decision-making sometimes. Well, now it's James Cook season, so they can win without having to rely on Josh Allen. That worries me. That worries me a lot, because it's like, okay, well, you're not YOLOing, throwing the football. You're not scrambling and running it in. Okay, yeah, you got a couple, you know, goal line carries, if you will, but you rushed one in. Okay, that's awesome. But like, that doesn't do a ton for me with fantasy points when this is supposed to be high upside. So it does worry me. Am I going to bench him? Absolutely not. But right. I am going to be supplying other, let's say your flex or maybe your wide receiver three with some higher upside options, just in case they're like, Josh, we need you for the long haul, man. We do not want to have you be running too much, have you be throwing interceptions, having us get down. Let's just rely on what we know. A couple passes to Diggs, maybe throw in, sprinkle in some Kincaid or sprinkle in a little Knox and Stephon Diggs. But James Cook, there you go, because he's heavily utilized in the passing game as well. But these are short yardage plays we're talking about. Some of them are a little bit longer, plus 20. But I'm just saying, it does worry me. I went off on a – let me just get off my soapbox. Hang on.
I'm more confident in the Bills passing game destroying the Chargers than you are. But look, you're right. They've emerged as a multi-dimensional offense that, hey, if they want to run the ball, they can do that now, which is really the first time we've been able to say that in the Josh Allen era. Let's move on to the next game here. AFC West matchup, the second game. This is first game, second game? One of the Christmas Eve games. No, one of the Christmas Day games. No, yeah, one of the Christmas Day games. Las Vegas Raiders, Kansas City Chiefs, 41.5 point over under here. The Chiefs are 10 point favorites. How much faith do you put in the points eruption from the Raiders last week?
Okay. I am actually really looking forward to this game. If I were to redo your, you know, binge stream skip, I speak English good. I would actually put this one in the binge category. I really like the way that the Kansas City Chiefs and the Las Vegas Raiders play each other. Division rivals, they don't like each other. And it tends to get gritty, but gritty in a fun way, not like, you know, Philadelphia Flyers gritty, who is an awesome orange mascot. And I love him. And everyone needs some gritty in their lives. If you haven't seen it, go Google it, because he's a fantastic character. But this could get really fun. And I think that the Raiders have every opportunity to keep this game competitive because of the lack of wide receiver production aside from Rashi Rice. So I'm wondering, I think some people may approach this as a blowout in terms of Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not quite sure what the scuttlebutt is going around. That's kind of my take on it. But the more I think about it, I really think this game is going to be closer than expected. I think that there could be, I would take the over on this game because I think just the way that these two like to play each other, the Raiders really have something to prove. Their head coach is no joke, and he wants to make sure that this team is here. And what better way to do this than against the Chiefs? So I'm excited for this one. I think this can be surprising.
Yeah, Antonio Pierce has so much motivation.
He's a beast.
Yeah, yeah. He has so much motivation to try to get this job and like keep these players on track to go into next year with some momentum. We'll see if it works out. We'll see. I think, look, if I'm Mark Davis and I'm already paying, you know, John Gruden's buyout and Josh McDaniels still paying his salary, I'm like, yeah, maybe we'll just go ahead and we'll just keep Antonio Pierce around. But I think he's proven a lot so far as the interim head coach here. Sounds like we might get Josh Jacobs back, which puts an end to the look. So Zamir White was just here to knock you out of your playoffs last week. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'll be here all week. I won't.
But yeah, Josh Jacobs, he'll be here to come back here in week 16. It sounds like last time we saw the Chiefs and Raiders play, L'Jarius Sneed tracked Davante Adams around the field, and that really opened things up for Jacoby Myers. So is Jacoby Myers once again in a good spot in this matchup?
I think so. I do think so. The Kansas City Chiefs defense is good, but they are exploitable. And I'm still not going to bench Davante Adams, though, because there's always that. It's Davante Adams. There's always a big play opportunity from him. I do like the wide receiver two options in this quite a bit. I'm curious to see what Michael Mayer can do as well. So I think I'm going to keep my eye on him for prop betting and DFS spots as well. There's so many fun things going on here. I cannot wait. And if Josh Jacobs is back, that just means even more opportunity for points on the ground. Isaiah Pacheco is supposed to be back as well, correct?
Sounds like he can get back for this one, too. So that puts
an end to the, so now we have points on the ground and points through the air. Come on, man. What's not to love? Jump on board with me, Harmon. Let's celebrate.
You're selling me on this. I also have a little bit of a bad feeling. No, I'm not fully drinking the eggnog. By the way, I'm not really an eggnog guy.
I know I can't either. It's disgusting, but it is the season.
Tis the season indeed.
I'm like bourbon.
Yeah, hold the eggnog. I'll just take but I am a little nervous about Aiden O'Connell in this matchup. Coming off his best game of the season, I don't want to be too disrespectful here, but we've also seen some lower. I mean, they scored literally 0 points the week before. These Raiders that you're trying to get me excited about.
No. Not the Raiders. Zero. Just the matchup.
Okay.
That they can be competitive. That's what I'm saying.
Right, but they scored 0 points 2 games ago. Zero.
I mean, it wasn't a great game.
It was not a great game, but I overall think there are a lot of spots to pick from a fantasy perspective. Like, I mean, yeah, if Isaiah Pacheco's back there, that's great news. Rashee Rice, obviously, I think is in must start territory at this point. And I definitely, the one thing I feel very strongly about, and this is based on nothing but narrative and nothing but anecdotal evidence, we're getting a big Travis Kelce bounce back game against the Raiders in this one. That one I feel.
I hate saying it, but he's due. That phrase just gives me the chills.
He is hashtag due. He is hashtag due. Yeah.
I'm there. I'm there with you.
All right. Next game up here. Talk about a team that's due for a big performance. Philadelphia Eagles welcoming the New York Giants. Eagles are 11.5-point favorites, 46.5-point over-under. Well, that's a lot of points. 11.5 points. You know, I get it from an on-paper resume standpoint, a record standpoint, why you'd feel this way about the Eagles. But, Lauren, my confidence in the Eagles, it has been shaken. Can you talk me into feeling any better about
it? No, I can't. I wish I could, my man. I mean, I wish I could. I wish I could give you a lollipop and I, you know, like just rest in my recliner and tell me your deep thoughts. and we can work this out together. But I don't, nice. I don't feel comfortable. And the reason why is their run defense, which is touted as the best in the league, has been Swiss cheese. And I don't know if you've heard of this guy named Saquon Barkley, who plays for the Giants, but he's pretty good, the folks say. So I think the Giants, I think the Eagles are going to win. I do not think that they're going to lose to the Giants. So let me just put that out there. But I think that this is going to be so irritating from an Eagles fan perspective, which they hate their team anyway, even when they're doing really well. So I don't see why anything would be different when it comes to Eagles fans. I say this because several of my best friends are Eagles fans. But there is going to be opportunity when it comes to a fantasy perspective to exploit this tattered run defense, and they're going to do it on the ground. And I think that that's where they're going to, it, just like I'm saying, the Raiders Kansas City game, I think this is going to stay competitive early. And Jalen Hurts should be feeling
Hurts has been a little Justin Fields ish of late.
Hey, I think he will. That is weird. That's, I don't know why that just happened. Crazy. I'm now getting, you know, brain messed up, but he was really ill, and I'm not going to make that an excuse for him. I'm going to make it a reality. I don't know if you saw the poor man. He looked like death warmed over. So I think this is going to be a better game from the Eagles. However, they will get exploited on the ground. So I have no problem rolling out Saquon Barkley with confidence. On the other side of the ball, this is weird Sirianni season when we are looking at this weird running back by committee again. So I actually really like Kenny Gainwell and props as well. So throw me some of this run game on here. I'm all on board.
Yeah, I like that call. I will say Giants play a lot of man coverage. The Eagles offense really has gotten a lot of criticism for being super static and just like, okay, we're just lining up and playing our guys, which usually they have better players than everybody else. But with Jalen Hurts playing this way, it's not so great. So I do think this is the type of defense they can exploit, though. We could get like a all is well with the Eagles sort of kind of game here.
You'll never get that because Eagles hate themselves.
Right. But because I think in the back of their mind, they're like, oh, yeah, we beat the hell out of the Giants. Who cares? That doesn't really prove anything from a playoff standpoint. They got to beat some better teams. I love you, Eagles fans. A lot of NFC East hate here, Lauren. Let's move on to the next game here. Jacksonville Jaguars at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This one is a fascinating game, too. 43.5 point over under. As of now, we don't know if Trevor Lawrence is going to suit up for this game, which is obviously pretty critical. Because I'll tell you what, if it's old CJ Beathard versus the Bucs, I don't have good feelings for the Jags, who I already have a lot of, like, I'm raising my eyebrow at the Jacksonville Jaguars for sure.
Yeah, I think this might be a scary trap game. I love Doug Peterson, though. Like, don't get me wrong. See, Eagles, I do love you. I love Doug Peterson. I know he's not your head coach anymore. Don't come at me. It's all good. I just wonder how long this gravy train can last. I really do like Trevor Lawrence in this matchup, but I don't know. This is confusing to me. This whole matchup is very confusing to me. What are your thoughts on this? Because I'm just kind of sitting here in like no man's land, like, this could be amazing. And this could be binge worthy, but I don't see it as that. On paper, it doesn't look nice to me.
Yeah. And on the flip side, like, I can see a scenario for Jacksonville where this game is skip worthy. Like, again,
that is true.
If we're, and that's what, by the way, that's why we split the difference and they're in the stream. Because the Bucks, like, I don't think we have to spend too much time talking about the Bucks. Like, they are what they are at this point. They're a pretty good offense. They're weirdly,
MVP Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh my God. On my other show, and I'll say this again, because Andy Behrens is not, certainly not going to listen to my other show, and he's not going to listen to this show either because he's not on it. Andy only re-listens to the episodes that he is on. His call about Baker Mayfield being this year's Geno Smith was so good, and I gave him so much crap for it. If you just look at like their stats side by side, they're nearly identical. Like 2022 Geno Smith and 2023 Baker Mayfield. So Andy nailed that call. Don't tell him I said that. Again, he will
said
never
what?
Listen
I blacked
to
out. What happened?
Perfect. All listeners, same thing. Don't tell Andy I said this because he will never, ever, ever listen to this episode. He only listens to the Panic Meter episodes at least twice over. Rewatches himself on FFL, the whole thing, as he's flying on his private jet. But he does not listen to these podcasts.
I mean,
so don't tell him I said those nice things about him. But I say all that to say that the Bucks offense is weirdly just like in my circle of trust. I trust Rashad White. I trust Mike Evans. I trust Baker Mayfield. And even Chris Godwin, like, yeah. I trust the usage we've gotten over the last 2 weeks. So
the volume has been there for Godwin, for sure.
On the Jags side of things, that's where my lack of trust comes in and where I can see this game being a bit of a problem spot. If there's no Trevor Lawrence, that's problematic. Their run game has been horrible for months. And as much as I want to say, like, this is a good matchup for Calvin Ridley with no Zay Jones, I mean, there has been no less of a trustworthy player than Calvin Ridley this year. So, again, I'm with you. I could see this being a binge game. I could also see this being a very skip-worthy game on the Jags side.
Yeah, my flow chart is ruined. We have a flow chart when it comes to Calvin Ridley's success. If Trevor Lawrence is on the field and healthy with Zay Jones, Calvin Ridley does well. If Zay Jones is not on the field, Calvin Ridley is mediocre to poor. Christian Kirk is the one who then steps up to the plate when there's no Zay Jones and a healthy Trevor Lawrence. Now my flowchart is ruined. How do I predict this? How do I go anywhere near and touch this? Because take my flowchart, rip it up, burn it in my fake fireplace. I'm done. I don't know what to do. Do I trust Calvin Ridley? I should, against this Tampa Bay defense. Do I? No. What are we supposed to do? This is gross.
Yeah. I feel like this could be a good Calvin Ridley week, but again, trustworthiness is not there. It's not there at this point. Let's move on to the next game. Seattle Seahawks, aforementioned Geno Smith, is going to be back for these Seahawks.
Boo.
They're 2.5-point favorites. You are Drew Lock truther.
I am, Harmon.
The Why Missouri hat for thanks. The for the YouTube audience. That's what Lauren's got, the Missouri Santa hat there. So Merry Christmas to you and all the Drew Lock fans out there. You had your moment, and it was a great moment for Drew.
It was a great moment
for Drew Lock.
Oh, I cried too. I cried with you, Drew. I was there.
Yeah, I actually went because I always use right after the night games, let the dogs out immediately, and
who
so I was outside.
Out?
Huh?
I just said, "Who let the dogs out?" It was a yoke.
Oh my god. So let the dogs out, and then I realized I've missed this big Drew Lock interview. I had to rewind it and watch it because it was such a great moment. So shout out to Drew Lock, but for real, Geno Smith is back, and I think that's probably an upgrade for the Seahawks offense, all things considered. Sorry, but I think it's true. And this should be a good matchup against the Titans defense for all of these guys. So I ask you, Geno Smith back, DK Metcalf on a bit of a hot streak of late, but it's mostly just been hitting on deep passes. How do we feel about the Seahawks passing offense? And again, what should be a good matchup against Tennessee Titans?
I'm mediocre. I will trust DK Metcalf. Is Tyler Lockett benchable at this point? We're there.
He just had a decent game not too long ago.
Dude, Hot Lockett. And I love Tyler Lockett. I'm one of those stubborn people that's like, this is going to be his week. And then 6 weeks later, I'm like, this is going to be his week. And then he has one good-ish week. And I'm like, see, here's my victory lap. Like, I absolutely adore Tyler Lockett. I don't trust this passing game. I don't trust Geno Smith this year. He has not been the Geno Smith that we came to know and love, comeback player of the year from last season. We'll put my faith in Kenneth Walker, and I'll put my faith in DK Metcalf. Other than that, Zach Charbonnet on a stretch if I have to. But Tyler Lockett, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can do it because he's a flex play at best at this point, and I think there are some better options that you can, you know, squeeze into that position.
Even Jackson Smith and Jigba, coming off JSN, a big game, obviously, but typically, this Titans pass defense is more exploitable by outside receivers, not slot receivers.
And watch Tyler Lockett. Exactly. Watch Tyler Lockett have 2 touchdowns this week because I said that.
I mean, I wouldn't hate it for all my consolation bracket teams. I wouldn't
also
hate
true.
It, but
me neither. I would just hate it for this moment right now.
Yeah. I wouldn't hate it. But God, man, I can't believe Tyler Lockett is wide receiver 32 on the season. Sad.
It is.
On the Tennessee Titans side, we don't know who's going to suit up a quarterback at this point. Could be Will Levis. Could be Ryan Tannehill. Regardless, if it's a hobbled Will Levis with a high ankle sprain or Tannehill's back there, can you convince me to play anybody in Tennessee? I mean, Derrick Henry's coming off a historically low touches to total yards game. And the Seahawks defense is definitely, it's not a great unit, but they had some highlight moments against the Eagles last week.
Right. This is pass catchers. No, I'm not going to put my faith in DeAndre Hopkins. Neither Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. No, I think those are stretches. If you have to, I get it with DeAndre Hopkins. I do get that. but I don't love it. See if you can try to squeeze somebody else in there for Hopkins, who again is probably a wide receiver three or a flex play anyway. When it comes to Derrick Henry and Tyjae Spears, this has been such an issue. So if the Titans are losing, I mean, even just by a few points, bye-bye Derrick Henry. He's completely absent. And this is suddenly a Tyjae Spears game. Tyjae Spears is competing enough with Derrick Henry in touches that it's now fantasy relevant as opposed to just fantasy annoying. Not only that, but Spears is involved in the passing game as well. So they are really taking a running back by committee-ish approach when it comes to Henry and Spears. This is a big problem for fantasy owners. And Derrick Henry is someone that we should know, trust, love automatically in your lineup. I don't have the cojones to take him out. I probably should, because this could easily turn into a runaway, not in the Tennessee Titans' favor. And in that case, Derrick Henry is phased out. It's just how that offense is rolling right now, which is very sad. So I don't trust anyone from the Titans at all. Now, will I play Derrick Henry? Sure. If I have Tyjae Spears, I don't even know if I would put him in as a flex. What I would do is focus some attention on DFS and prop betting when it comes to Tyjae Spears. I'm not going to touch him for your fantasy squads. This is very, very concerning for the Tennessee Titans.
I'm with you. I feel the exact same way about that offense. Next game up, Arizona Cardinals at Chicago Bears. 4.5 point total, or excuse me, 4.5 point favorites are the Bears at home with a 43 point total here. You know, this game is very fringe stream, you know, but these two teams can be exciting. These two quarterbacks can be exciting. Does anyone from like a matchup perspective stand out to you in this game?
Actually, Justin Fields. I did mention his name earlier on accident when I meant to refer to Jalen Hurts. I think this should be a pretty good game for Justin Fields, especially in the run game. I think his yards on the ground should be pretty impressive, which I do like. I think the Bears defense might be something interesting to keep an eye on. They've been shockingly pretty decent. Other than that, not really. I don't trust the run game for the Bears at all. DJ Moore is an option, I think, but you're probably starting him anyway if you have Justin Fields in, especially against this Arizona defense. On Arizona side, man, Hollywood Brown, no mas. Really around. Kyler Murray coming back. I get it. He's trying. He has some mobility. That's okay. I mean, James Conner, okay. Other than that, I mean, Trey McBride, he's probably the shining spot here. But even that, it's a little kind of yikes. But other than Trey McBride and Justin Fields, I'm not sure I really want to have too many pieces of this, although I will keep my eye on it sporadically as we stream this matchup.
Exactly. Yeah, we're keeping our eye on it. I like the Justin Fields call here. I think this is going to be a solid game for him.
Yeah.
You know, just not a great defense there on Arizona's side of things. But Trey McBride, I am concerned that, look, that Bears defense is legit.
Yeah, I know.
You're starting Trey McBride, but this Bears defense is legit. And
I just
he's
want
like
him to do
threat.
Really well. I'm putting that juju out in the universe because I need him to do well in a couple leagues. So
I would like to put some juju in the universe that the Green Bay Packers have a nice rebound spot here against the Carolina Panthers. Our final game in the stream category. Packers are 4.5 point favorites, 37.5 point total here on this one. The Panthers are what they are. I don't know if you have a deep collection library of notes on the Carolina Panthers, but good answer. That's about all you need. Chuba Hubbard, you can play Chuba Hubbard as an RB2, as we talked about yesterday on the Stat Nerd podcast. But from the Packers perspective here, another team that we're not 100% sure from an injury perspective, are we going to get Christian Watson back? Are we going to get Jaden Reed out there? I think Reed probably plays. Watson's a little more questionable. Do you see any potential sleeper appeal, bounce back appeal from this offense that, hey, it had its moments at one point, but it's kind of been through a bit of a rougher spot here from a record perspective the last 2 weeks?
I am 100% with you about that good juju for the Packers. I think this could be a very good game. However, I do not have any faith in Christian Watson, even if he's healthy on the field. Sorry. Jaden Reed, if he's healthy and on the field, absolutely. I do not mind Romeo Doubs whatsoever. Very concerned about the run game for the Packers as well. But Jordan Love has been able to kind of make lemonade out of lemons the best that he can. And he is learning as he goes. He's having ups and downs, but I think this is going to start giving him some confidence. And I think even if they do get up to a solid lead, I don't see them slowing down in the passing game. So I think this could be a really good game fantasy wise for Jordan Love as well. So I'm with you. I'm with you on the Packers. Other than that, no, I'm not. The Panthers, who? Poor Bryce Young.
Hopefully Aaron Jones can rebound in this one as well. It's a good matchup for him to do so. Dontavian Wicks, I do think, is a nice sleeper play. Tucker Kraft, I like me some Tucker Kraft.
Don't hate it. Okay, seen. I don't hate that one, but that is, I don't have that gumption like you do, Harmon.
Wow, well, that's what I'm here for. Getting overexcited about young tight ends. That's what I'm here
for. I'm here with the pilgrim shirt and logic, said no one ever.
Pilgrim logic. Pilgrim real conservatism. Logic. Real conservatism from you on the Tucker Kraft debate.
Quaker.
Here.
Quaker over here.
Real Quaker. On that note, let's move to the skip category. We can rapid fire through some of these games. And this is, honestly, Lauren, this is another category here. The skip category is very imbalanced on like almost every one of these games, except for the last one, ironically, the Christmas Eve Island game at night. But almost all of these other games, it's like, there's one team here doing a lot of heavy lifting. Bengals, Steelers. Great example. Bengals are 1.5 point favorites. 1.5 points. That's it for the Bengals. The way they've been playing lately, 38.5 point total here. The Steelers are in total chaos. Okay. Like they're going to start Mason Rudolph. That's one thing. Second thing, you know, there's all this attention on like George Pickens and George Pickens. The low effort play is not blocking. And then the media asked Jaylen Warren what he thought about it. He's like, well, you know, we play the game differently. I would have blocked for him. I'm like, oh my God, like, how is this getting out? How is this happening here? So that's where the Steelers are. Definitely think the Bengals should be favored by more than 1.5 points because on the flip side of it, yeah, there's no Jamar Chase, but T. Higgins coming off a massive game. I feel pretty good about the Bengals in this one.
100%. I'm there with you. The one I saw that and I thought it was a mistype until I went and looked it up and was like, dang, okay, weird. I'll take the over. Thank you.
Yeah. I Bengals feel pretty good about them with Jake Browning and like, I think T. Higgins, even if he does get a matchup here with Joey Porter Jr.
Tanner Hudson's getting involved. Tyler Boyd is making big plays. Let's go.
I feel pretty good about the Bengals in that one. I mean, you can start some of these Steelers in fantasy, I guess, because the Bengals defense isn't good. But like, my God, we're talking about a Mason Rudolph led offense.
I don't hate Najee Harris and I don't hate Jaylen Warren. Other than that, I'm staying. And Pat Freiermuth, I'll give a nod to Freiermuth. He seems to be a security binky for several of these quarterbacks. Not awesome. But serviceable.
Not awesome. Indianapolis Colts at Atlanta Falcons. Falcons are 1.5 point road favorites. You got a 44.5 point over under. This is another one. Like, you could probably tell me this should be in the stream category, but two things here. Number one, the Colts, I love the offense. I've been a big fan of just what Shane Steichen's been doing all year long, but Pittman probably should be back. Jonathan Taylor might be back. That's a lot of heavy lifting on the Colts side here, because on the flip side with the Falcons, they deserve to be in the skip category. Even if this is a good defensive matchup, how can you not be wanting to skip the Atlanta Falcons? I don't know. I can see some more fantasy goodness than I'm giving it credit for. If Pittman's out there, if JT is out there, and if like Arthur Smith just, you know, kind of gets his head out of his ass here in
he
this
won't.
One. I,
no, he won't, because he thinks that already is. Like, this is why I despise watching the Falcons, because it is so irritating and frustrating. So this needs to be in the skip. I don't care who they're playing. Don't watch the Falcons. Go on boycott. They were giving away tickets for 45 cents.
Yeah, like 10 Panthers fans got to watch their team upset the Falcons in horrible weather last week. Congratulations. What a life. I'm almost as frustrated with these next two teams here. By the way, let's just circle back actually and like do some fantasy actual, let's try to help some people out there. I mean, in this mess of a game. I think it's pretty simple. If JT's active, you play JT.
Absolutely.
I think it's pretty simple. If Michael Pittman's active, you play Michael Pittman.
Absolutely.
But talk about bravery here for a second, Lauren.
Okay. I'm putting on my brave hat. Hold on. Give me a minute. All right, it's there.
I don't have Bijan Robinson on any teams. I don't know if you do, but if you did, after what happened last week, after the, they lost the game. The owner is kind of putting Arthur Smith on notice. Don't you feel like they go back to Bijan in this spot? And do you as a fantasy manager go back to Bijan after what we saw last week?
I see the conundrum. I like to keep it simple. I'm going to play Bijan, and I want to give you just a little bit of hope. Bijan is shockingly is not the right word, even though I just said it three times in a row. I really like how he's utilized in the passing game. He has made some exceptional plays, exceptional catches. And the Colts, over the last 4 weeks have allowed almost 200 yards through the air to the running back position. And Arthur Smith likes to be tricky. He's like, oh, you'll never see it coming. We are unpredictable. I'm doing air quotes for anyone who's not watching. And they could be like, all right, well, we're going to run Tyler Allgeier, but we're going to line up Bijan Robinson out wide or something weird and do strange, you know, Kerhinky things. But I just made that word up. I liked it. Kerhinky. I'm going to use that from now on. Mm-hmm. That's good. So hope, yes. Trust, no. But I think if you have Bijan, you have to play him, because what happens when he scores 20 plus points on your bench and that's going to cost you your game, right? So if you have another option better than his upside, I think is the way that you need to look at it. And I'm not quite sure that there is a better option considering who else might be left where you got them either in the draft or off waivers that would be better than Bijan's upside. And that's kind of where I'm looking at this. And because, like you said, Arthur Smith is kind of on notice here. They're spent a lot of draft capital on a lot of players that he's not utilizing. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson. Let's get this right and let's utilize some of these players. I think the safest one is going to be against the Colts, who they have the, third worst defense against the run. So I think this could be a good game on the ground. Let's just hope that ground game is Bijan.
People needed to hear that hope. I'll just put a bow on it by saying the boys, Andy, Scott, and Dalton, ranking on Yahoo right now, have Bijan collectively as the 12th ranked running back this week. Ooh. Dalton has him 6th.
Okay.
Classic Dalton. Andy has him 14th, and Scott has him 16th. That sounds about right in terms
of
the range
you're looking
at. Scott, why
do you hate Bijan?
Well, I think he's spooked by the Arthur Smith stuff, and I think there's a good reason to be. Again, I mentioned frustration. These two teams definitely frustrate me. Washington Commanders at New York Jets. Jets are 3-point favorites, 37.5 point over-under. This is the movable force, stoppable object game. The Commanders have the worst pass defense in the league. The Jets might have the worst passing game in the league. So I say all that to say, like, Garrett Wilson, Lauren, is he in a smash spot this week? Especially if, I mean, we might get Trevor Siemian starting in this game. I don't know what Zach Wilson's status is at this point, whether he's going to get cleared or not.
Garrett Wilson, sure. I don't mind this. I don't mind this because it is exploitable. And Garrett Wilson is one of those wide receivers who, even if he has double coverage, even if the defender has the football in his hands, Garrett Wilson's like, nope, mine. And he just takes it out of his defender's hand and says, look, touchdown, mom. That's the kind of player Garrett Wilson is. I think if it were anyone else other than him, I would say, no, this is not a smash. But Garrett Wilson, I think because of this matchup particularly, I think that Garrett Wilson should be in your lineup. It is risky. Yes. Just have that, you know, understanding going into this matchup. Garrett Wilson, yes. Other than that, I don't even know if I trust Breece Hall. This is a scary situation all around. When it comes to Washington, what are they going to do? I'm sorry. The over under here is 37.5. Where did you get that number? Like, how are we going to get to this many points? I don't know how this is even possible. So I'm going under on that for anyone who was curious.
Yeah. Sam Howell coming off, getting mid game benched for Jacoby Brissett. Yeah. He's going to be back as the starter. We'll see. I'm going to pull Lauren here and tell you that I was on the Take Command podcast with, Logan Paulson, and the boys over there. Yeah, it was a fun show. Broke down a lot of what is frustrating about this offense from a structural perspective, and how we collectively agreed, Will, Logan, and myself, that they really set. I think they set Sam Howell up to fail in this one, which is unfortunate. But I think it is what it is. Final game here, and again, it's the Christmas Eve Island game. It's the final game of the skip category. It's the Christmas Eve Island game. I say that again. New England Patriots at Denver Broncos. Broncos 6.5 point or 6.5 point home favorites. 34.5 over under here. Lauren, Broncos got shredded last week. Their defense allowed more total yards than they had since week 5, but now it's the Patriots. Feels like a good bounce back spot.
Does. I don't know. This is definitely firmly within the skip. I mean, Cortland Sutton, yeah, I like that one, but you're going to need a touchdown. However, one of the things that New England can do, that Bill Belichick can do, is shut down the best part of that offense. Is that going to be Javonte Williams or is that going to be Cortland Sutton? We're not quite sure. When it comes to the Patriots, I don't know what to do. Zeke or bust, man. Like, this is so gross. This is so not fun. at all. It sounds gross coming off the tongue.
Yeah, it's real bad. Don't love it. Pretty concerned. Yeah, I'm.
What else is there to say? Yeah.
Like maybe you're grinding to a Zeke performance here.
Yeah.
I mean, but even then, like we saw what happens when he loses just like a slight bit on that massive workload that he has.
And he requires volume. And
this is when you just make up the time with your family, okay? That you have that you didn't spend time with them because you're watching football all Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Drink the eggnog with bourbon, minus eggnog.
Correct. Yes. Take out the bourbon, add the rocks, and then we're good to go on the eggnog drink there. Excuse me. Take out the eggnog, add the rocks. We're good to go on the eggnog there in that situation. But listen, yeah, this is when you just spend some makeup time with the family on this one because it is going to be just a slog of a game. I think you can, like, it's Courtland Sutton, and that's it on the Broncos side, too.
Yeah, I agree with you. It is very difficult. Even Jerry Jeudy, which breaks my heart, it's very difficult to trust Jerry Jeudy against New England. It's hard to trust Jerry Jeudy, period, which is unfortunate. I think there are better options. I think there are better, safer options. Because when you're looking at a lot of these players, you have your core that you know you're going to start. What is the upside that you're going for? Does Jerry Jeudy have that upside? If you think he does, then he needs to be in your lineup. We do not think that he does because of this matchup and also just because of what this offense is willing or capable of doing. So I don't see any other option here aside from Courtland Sutton, who even is an upside play. He's going to have to score a touchdown in order to make up your fantasy day because he just doesn't have, you know, the mountain of volume that we expect someone like Courtland Sutton to have.
Man. Yeah. What a sad way.
Why did we end
what a
on
sad
this
way,
note?
What a sad way to end this podcast, which otherwise, Lauren, has been an incredible treat. Thank you for coming on the show. I feel like we previewed the hell out of what's going to be an exciting and enthralling week 16 other than that Patriots-Broncos game.
Last one.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad hosting on me. That's bad outline creation on me. I got to be better than that. I got to work harder at my craft. Meanwhile, while I'm trying to figure it out, Lauren, tell the people where they can find you and check out all of your great work.
Absolutely. You guys can find me on social media at StepmomLauren, L-A-U-R-E-N. Not that one. I'm the fantasy football stepmom. You also can listen to me on SiriusXM every Saturday morning, 9 to 11 a.m., Channel 87 Eastern Time.
Boom. There we go. Make sure to check out Lauren. We're excited to have you on FFL tonight, even though by the time people are listening to this, that show will already have aired. But you can rewatch it on YouTube or the Yahoo Sports app. So make sure to check out Lauren there as well. That is going to do it for us today, folks. Couple reminders. One, we will not be back until Tuesday because we are going to record the podcast Christmas night for you to get it the next day. We will not be recording on Christmas Eve. So Tuesday morning is the next time you hear from us. But in the meantime, it is the fantasy postseason. And you people out there, well, half of you, we'll be eliminated this weekend. I'm sorry to tell you, but that is what is going to happen. So for all of you out there, we introduced a new segment called the Fantasy Forensic Files. Did one guy blow your season? Did one guy on your opponent's team drop a hammer on you? Did you get eliminated from some kind of bad beat? We want to hear about it. Send in your screenshots, video, voice memo, rants, whatever, to the Yahoo Fantasy Mailbag, fantasymailbag@yahoosports.com, or you can tweet them at me or Andy Behrens, tag us on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. We will feature them on the Panic Meter podcast, which is Wednesday next week because, like I said, we will be back first thing Tuesday morning to hear Scott Pienowski and I break down all the action from week 16. Until then, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, enjoy all the football. Until then, we're out.